Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on what I think is a really inspiring journey. We're diving headfirst into the exciting possibilities, starting brand new ventures, making pretty significant lifestyle shifts after 50.
Right. Forget that old idea of slowing down.
Exactly. This is about embracing a rich, vibrant period, new beginnings, a second act full of purpose. And to help us navigate all this, we've pulled together a great stack of sources for this deep dive. We've got personal blogs, people living these changes right now, some insightful YouTube channel transcripts, really practical advice there, and raw insights too, and even some lively community forum discussions. So it's a real mix. You get the how-to and maybe more importantly, the why-to.
And our mission here really is to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge for you, our listener. We want to pinpoint the core motivations, the tangible benefits, and all those crucial practical things you need to consider for these second act type endeavors.
Get people informed quickly but thoroughly.
Exactly. Help you understand what's truly important and relevant for your potential journey.
Okay, let's unpack this then. First up, becoming a YouTuber later in life.
Okay. Interesting start.
Yeah. It might sound like, something for the younger crowd, but there's a really powerful appeal here. Jill Canning, she's a YouTuber herself, highlights some incredible benefits.
Like what?
Well, building a supportive community, finding people who get you, exploring a creative outlet, storytelling, editing, all that.
Learning new skills too, I bet.
Totally. Talking to the camera, video editing, and she even mentions potentially earning some side income, for travel or retirement goals.
A nice bonus.
But maybe the most powerful thing, inspiring others, showing it's, quote, never too late to follow a passion. And that never too late message, it's echoed by from the poolside. She's a digital communications expert, started her channel over 50. Her reasons, a strong desire to keep creating, keep learning, meet new people.
Being challenged.
Yeah, pushing herself out of her comfort zone. She actually said she wanted to show her daughter that at any time, any age, you can create something.
Wow, that's powerful.
Isn't it? And she was also looking for a new income stream,
Yeah.
more flexibility, freedom from the corporate world.
Makes sense.
She even took on this consistency challenge inspired by an Ali Abdaal tweet. If you post a video every week for 2 years, I guarantee you that your life will change.
That's quite a commitment.
Huge. But for her, the insight was about getting back to the joy of just creating, enjoying the journey, not just the outcome.
It's compelling, isn't it, how profound these emotional and, well, personal drivers are.
Totally.
This really pushes back against that old idea that people in their 50s are, less likely to create something new.
Right.
It turns what one source called a kind of depressing thought into an active pursuit, joy, purpose.
It really reframes this stage of life, growth over just winding down. And it
Absolutely.
makes me think, okay, how does that mindset translate into the nitty-gritty getting started?
The practical side.
Yeah. What I found really insightful, especially from Eunice Unscripted's experience. She started her channel at 58.
58, wow.
Her only regret, not starting sooner. But her experience gives us this fantastic roadmap, the do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
So Eunice's fundamental first question is, are you doing this as a hobby or do you want to make money?
Ah, the crucial distinction.
Because your whole approach
Yeah.
changes,
Yeah.
right? For income, it's about views and retention, not just subscribers.
Right. How long people watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And here's a key insight. YouTube recently lowered its monetization criteria.
Yeah.
Made it way more accessible.
Oh, how
It's
so?
down to 500 subscribers and get this, 10,000 watch hours.
10,000 watch hours. Okay. Still significant, but lower threshold overall.
It signals YouTube is valuing that consistent engagement, maybe over just raw numbers. It's a marathon, not a sprint,
Yeah.
if you want income from it. Now, here's a massive takeaway, especially if you feel intimidated by the tech. Start minimal. Your phone, your computer, your tablet,
Right.
that's it. Yeah, Eunice stresses not to buy expensive lights and mics right away. It's a big commitment.
So don't invest heavily upfront.
Exactly. The power is starting with what you have. The commitment and the message matter way more than the gear initially. And her advice on practicing, brilliant. It's all about self-awareness, improving step by step.
Okay.
Record yourself talking for just a minute or two, something you enjoy. Then listen back just the audio.
To catch the ums and ahs.
Right, check your flow. Then watch the video, but with the sound off.
Ah, for body language. Stiffness versus animation.
Exactly. Eye contact, too. She suggests a little post-it note by the camera lens to remind you where to look.
Simple but effective.
Her advice is treat it like you're chatting with your best friend. Keep it conversational. For your first actual upload, make it unlisted or private.
Smart. Get feedback first.
Yeah. From someone you trust, to be honest.
Yeah.
And she reassures everyone, lack of confidence at the start. Totally normal. It gets better with practice.
Good to hear.
Only after a few months, when you know you're committed, enjoying it, then maybe think about inexpensive gear. A tripod, a selfie light, a basic mic.
So prove the concept to yourself first.
Precisely. And consistency. Absolutely crucial for the YouTube algorithm.
Right. You hear that all the time.
Set a schedule. Scripting, filming, editing, basic editors like iMovie, perfectly fine to start.
Don't need fancy software.
Nope. And don't stress about perfection. It's okay if videos aren't perfect. You can always take them down later.
Good point. Less pressure.
As for finding your niche, her advice is just start making videos about things you genuinely like.
And the audience finds you.
Often, yeah. They gravitate towards what you do really well, and a pattern, your niche, kind of emerges over time.
This really prompts us to consider, you know, how does this commitment, this learning curve for YouTube, how does that reflect the broader challenges and rewards of any new venture later in life?
Mm.
It really underscores the dedication needed for personal growth, doesn't it? For transformation, no matter the field, you need that willingness to learn and adapt.
That's a fantastic point. Are there sort of universal principles here, whether it's a channel or, I don't know, starting a farm?
Absolutely. I think so. The need for consistent effort, right? The willingness to learn new skills.
The initial investment, time, or money.
Exactly. And having that clear why. It all applies across the board. It's really a testament to the idea that you're never too old to fully engage with a new challenge.
Even something as maybe physically demanding as homesteading.
Especially then, perhaps.
Well, that's a perfect segue then. Let's pivot. Another significant lifestyle change. Homesteading.
Okay, the call of the land.
Right. But when we talk modern homesteading, we're not necessarily picturing, you know, log cabins and vast prairies.
No, it's evolved.
Definitely. Life at Cobble Hill Farm, one of our blog sources, clarifies this. According to Mother Earth News, it's really about living a more self-sufficient lifestyle.
In what ways?
Well, it could involve growing or raising your own food, cooking from scratch, connecting with the land, preserving food, maybe even living off-grid.
Simplifying things.
Simplifying,
mm-hmm.
Making homemade products. And the beauty is, it's flexible. It could be hundreds of acres or
her backyard.
Or a suburban backyard with chickens in a garden.
Yeah.
Because, as the blog puts it, homesteading is a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Stassi, who runs that blog, shared her story. Started full-time homesteading at 48. Her husband was 54.
And their motivation.
They were, quote, tired of the nonsense that comes with working for others and ready to take more control of our lives.
Control and freedom again. Very similar drivers to the YouTube example.
Exactly.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, homesteading, like starting that channel, it's often this pursuit of control, freedom, a healthier, more intentional life.
Mm-hmm.
It really highlights that idea of the simple life as a, well, they called it a scary, rewarding, and fulfilling transition.
Scary but rewarding.
Yeah. Aligning your daily actions with your core values. Building something tangible.
Of course, there are specific challenges, right? Especially starting later in life.
Absolutely. Finances, physical demands.
Yeah. The Life at Cobble Hill Farm blog really gets into the financial side. While some folks might be in a better position financially by their 40s or 50s.
Others might not be.
Right. Others might need to think outside of the box or maybe set your sights a bit lower.
Manage expectations.
Definitely. The blog stresses paying off debt, living frugally, saving money, because homesteading still has costs. Seeds, fencing, animal feed, vet care.
Electricity, taxes, unexpected stuff always crop up.
Always. Then there's the physical labor. It's acknowledged. It can get tougher with age.
No doubt about that.
So the advice is plan to that in mind. Maybe a smaller model. Like instead of a huge CSA, maybe one feeding 15, 25 families.
Scale it realistically.
Perfectly illustrated by Mama Gail's comment on the blog.
Yeah.
She started at 58, husband at 62. She said she almost killed myself with the workload.
Wow.
Had to regroup, cut way back on our must-get-done schedule. Really drives home that need for realistic expectations. Match ambition to physical capacity.
And what's really insightful here is how that Reddit thread, homesteading in old age, just bursts with backup plans and solutions. Real world adaptation.
Oh yeah, like what?
Well, strategies like choosing land that isn't too isolated. You want access to services, supplies, hospitals, clinics.
Practicalities.
Yeah. smaller houses, less demanding animals. Free-range chickens came up a lot. Smaller gardens, closer to the house. Makes sense. Easier access. And a big emphasis on financial safety nets. Some people keep a 40-hour job alongside homesteading.
Really? Both?
Yeah, saving money specifically to handle sudden issues. The key takeaway was, don't rely 100% on homestead income, especially at first.
Good advice. What about the physical limits?
Solutions mentioned there included having caretakers eventually, relying on family or grandkids for help.
Using technology.
Exactly. Automatic feed and water systems. And for those really concerned about the physical side, permaculture was suggested.
Permaculture, how does that help?
Well, it's not just gardening. It's a whole design system based on natural ecosystems. Often means less physical labor over time once it's established, focuses on low-effort, high-yield setups, easier on the back and knees.
Working with nature, not against it.
Precisely, which can be a huge plus as we age. And get this, one person talked about a homesteading life in city limits.
In the city.
Yeah, a family in LA growing all their groceries, raising hens, even tiny milk goats. On just a tenth of an acre.
Wow, that redefines homesteading.
It really shows the flexibility.
It's amazing how many creative solutions there are. Life at Cobble Hill Farm also gives a great summary of key steps, really principles for any big life change, I think.
Okay, like what?
First, simplify your life. Downsize possessions, keep essentials, useful tools.
Clear the decks.
Second, pay off your debt. Get finances sorted to reduce stress. Third, network. Find your people for support, ideas, maybe even bartering.
Community is key.
Fourth, save, save, save. Build that cushion for costs and the unexpected. Fifth, make sure this is right for you and figure out your whys. It's a home-centered life. Takes a lot of time.
Gotta be passionate about it.
And finally, learn to cook with what you have. Adapt to seasonal abundance, different cuts of meat, avoid waste. Planning, as mentioned, is critical. For success and for using your money wisely.
You need a plan.
Yeah, ask detailed questions about your goals. Will you grow all your veggies? Ferment? Can. Raise animals for meat or dairy? Make products.
Each choice has different needs, right? Time? Cost?
Exactly. Like raising chickens for meat. Different needs, shelter, feed, processing, than raising them just for eggs. You got to nail down those details. And most consistent advice, start slow.
Don't bite off more than you can chew.
Right. Never gardened. Don't plant everything year one. Grow a few things you eat. Learn about them. Never had chickens. Start with 6, not 20.
But build the infrastructure maybe for more later.
Good point, yes. Build housing for your eventual goal, but start small with the animals themselves. The core idea is add things methodically. Avoid overwhelm. Manage costs. Get one or two things down before expanding.
Build that solid foundation step by step.
Precisely.
And what if you're thinking about a homestead business?
Ah, good question. Thorough research is paramount there.
Local markets, regulation.
All of it. Local market success, town and state requirements, how you'll sell. Like soap making research overhead, insurance, licensing, pricing, where to sell.
Or selling eggs.
Yeah. How do you stand out? Price for profit. What do you do with extras? Licensing. Even factoring in costs, like organic feed if you go that route.
It really highlights the difference between a hobby and a business. Needs professional diligence.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when we bring this all together, YouTube, homesteading, other ventures after 50, what's the common thread?
Mm-hmm.
Often it seems to be this broader theme of simplification, which is captured beautifully by the concept of downsizing.
Ah, yes, downsizing. It's a big one.
Huge trend. 34% of Canadians planning it, apparently. And it's way more than just selling a house, isn't it?
Oh, much more. It's strategic.
Right. Bolstering quality of life, sharpening financial management, paving the way for the future.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes really relevant after 50 as needs change, kids move out, retirement looms.
Income streams shift.
Exactly. It's about designing that next chapter.
And one aspect that really stands out from the 50 Shades of Age source is the sheer range of benefits beyond just, you know, less physical space.
Okay.
First, significant financial savings. Reducing expenses, maybe freeing up capital. Good time to revisit the whole financial plan.
Makes sense. And less work, right?
Definitely. Reduced maintenance and responsibilities. Big homes need constant upkeep. That gets burdensome. Smaller home. Less physical strain, more time for things you enjoy. Plus, they're often more accessible.
Good point. What else?
Third, increased flexibility and mobility. Fewer possessions means moving is easier. Allows for more travel or moving closer to family. Opens up different housing options to retirement communities, multi-generational living.
More choices.
And finally, maybe the most profound, enhanced mental well-being.
How so?
A clutter-free space reduces stress. fosters a sense of serenity. It lets you focus on what's truly important. And the act of downsizing itself, it often spurs reflection, a reassessment of priorities, leads to a more intentional life.
It's fascinating, isn't it? How much you seem to gain by letting go of stuff.
It really is a shift in perspective.
So for anyone thinking about it, what are the practical steps? How do you make downsizing successful?
Well, the sources lay out a pretty clear path.
Okay. First, evaluate your current lifestyle and future plans. Think about daily routines, hobbies, social life, long-term goals like travel or more family time.
Figure out what you actually need for your next phase.
Right. Create that vision.
Uh-huh.
Second, determine your essential belongings and space requirements. Inventory, everything. Keep, donate, sell, discard.
Prioritize necessities and sentimental items.
And match those belongings to the space you'll need. Love cooking. Need a decent kitchen, even if smaller. Define your must-haves for your future self.
Got it. Then what?
Third, set realistic goals. Be clear on objectives. Break it down into steps with a timeline sorting, lifting the house, finding new arrangements.
Be patient. Right. It's a big shift.
Exactly. Flexibility and patience are key. It's a process, not just a single event.
Okay. Makes sense.
Fourth, the hands-on part. Sort and declutter. Those four categories, again, a pro tip from the sources. Start in low-sentiment areas.
Like the garage or basement.
Yeah. Build momentum before tackling the photo albums. Donate items in good condition. Sell unwanted stuff garage sales. Online for extra cash for the move.
Mindful decluttering. Focus on what serves your future.
Exactly.
You know, this raises such an important point. The profound idea that downsizing isn't just about getting rid of things. It's about gaining something invaluable.
Like what?
Purpose, freedom, peace. The ability to define success on your own terms. How does that reframe how we think about aging or later life?
That's a great question.
It shifts the narrative, doesn't it? From winding down to actively designing a life with more intention, more fulfillment.
So, to recap then, what we've explored today really highlights that later life. It's a vibrant stage full of opportunities for significant, rewarding new beginnings.
Absolutely.
Whether that's building a digital presence like a YouTube channel, cultivating a self-sufficient lifestyle through homesteading, or simply simplifying your surroundings by downsizing. Mm. The possibilities are boundless and deeply personal.
Mm-hmm. And maybe here's a final thought for you, the listener, to mull over.
Okay.
Consider how these shifts, learning new skills for YouTube, reconnecting with the land via homesteading, intentionally downsizing your life, how they're ultimately about redefining success and fulfillment on your own terms, independent of what society expects.
Letting go of old expectations.
Exactly. So the question becomes, what old must-dos might you need to shed to make room for a new passion or a new purpose in your next chapter?